Welcome to the CCA edition of Rare Disease Advisor's Rare Care Podcast, offering unique perspectives from researchers, clinicians, and influencers from the cholangiocarcinoma community.
Hello, this is Larry Luxner, Senior Correspondent for Rare Disease Advisor. We're here with Dr. Ewu Ruthhi, an Associate Professor of Medicine at MedStar Georgetown University Hospital Center in Washington, D.C. Dr. He is a medical oncologist who specializes in cancers of the gastrointestinal tract. She was one of the principal investigators of the TOPAZ-1 Phase 3 clinical trial that led to last month's FDA approval of durvalumab, marketed by AstraZeneca under the trade name Imfinzi for the treatment of biliary tract cancer in combination with chemotherapy. Thank you for speaking with us today, Dr. He.
Thanks, Larry, for including me in this interview.
First of all, congratulations on the FDA approval. I'm sure this means a lot to you. Please tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and your research.
I'm a GI medical oncologist. I'm a biochemistry by training. I had a lab experience, and currently I treat cancers of the whole GI tract. I have special research interests on hepatobiliary cancer, HCC, and cholangiocarcinoma. And I'm very excited about this new approval because this means it provided additional treatment options for patients.
As I understand it, the options currently for people with this particular cancer are very limited. Prognosis is generally poor. Survival after 5 years is about 10%. How much does this new therapy improve their survival?
This new combination made a incremental improvement in survival. So at 2 years, the survival with the standard of care, the doublet chemotherapy, is 10%. And with addition of the immunotherapy to the two-drug chemotherapy combination, increased the two-year survival to 25%. And the benefit it's seen in those patients. And you can see its patient still need better treatment to prolong the survival.
What about the quality of life? In addition to extending their lifespan, is the quality of life improved with this new therapy?
This combination is quite well tolerated. Addition of the durvalumab to the combination of chemo, cisplatin plus gemcitabine, did not really increase the side effects or toxicities of cisplatin and gemcitabine. And so in general, it's quite well tolerated.
Can you just describe how you conducted the trial? What was involved? Did you come across any particular challenges or was there anything difficult about doing this trial? And did you expect the positive results that you got?
It is always a challenge to carry a large global randomized phase 3 study for cholangiocarcinoma for the following reasons. First, this is a rare type of cancer. It is very heterogeneous, and patients tend to have rapid progressing disease, so they get sick pretty quickly. So this is a true team effort. It has involved investigators in Europe, in South America, North America, and Asia to put this study together. And this is a positive trial that has met its primary endpoint over a decade. And the old standard of care, the two chemotherapy combination, was approved in 2010. So this is the phase 3 study now met its primary endpoint over a decade. And so we're excited about the data, but in the field and a lot of therapy have been tested. So we actually did not know this will be positive or not before the study was read out.
From what I understand, the prevalence of cholangiocarcinoma in Asia, particularly in China and in Southeast Asia, is very high. China has significantly higher rates than the United States or Europe. And we understand that in areas of Thailand, because of this river parasite, it's up to 65 per 100,000 inhabitants, which is the highest in the world. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. So cholangiocarcinoma, the incidence is low, but it's a very interesting disease. it is very heterogeneous. So the risk factor for cholangiocarcinoma differs from the East and the West. In East, in Asia, liver fluke that result into chronic inflammation in the bile duct is the main risk factors. I think in other parts of the country, inflammation of the bile duct from other reasons that may be the risk factors for cholangiocarcinoma.
And we understand also that this is one cancer that's on the rise around the world. Why is that?
I think partly it's because in the past, the cholangiocarcinoma is not properly diagnosed. And in the past, there's a whole category of carcinoma of unknown primary in the liver. And because we did not know where this is from, so it's called carcinoma of unknown primary. Now we know a lot of those tumor are actually intrahepatic cholangiocarcinoma.
I see.
So that's one of the reasons why now we have seen more cholangiocarcinoma. And we, of course, there's reason that if there's increased risk factors for biliary inflammation, and that can also account for the increased incidence of cholangiocarcinoma.
Just curious, how does a liver fluke lead to cancer?
I believe it's from chronic inflammation of the bile duct and scarring down. And as we know, inflammation over the years in one area can increase the risk of cancer.
So how does a person actually develop the cancer from ingesting this liver fluke?
When patients eat undercooked fish, then they ingest the egg, and the egg hatches and infest in the liver, in the bile duct, and then which result chronic inflammation, blockage of the bile duct, then eventually leads to a cancer formation. I think other reasons of chronic inflammation that leads to cancer is primary liver cancer, HCC, hepatocellular carcinoma. So that also is a result of chronic inflammation in the liver, and the liver try to regenerate and form nodules, and eventually those scarring down liver and nodules become cancers.
And this type of cause, let's say, is far more common in the United States, correct?
Yes.
So from what you have seen, the incidence of cholangiocarcinoma in the United States has also increased significantly, right?
Yes. We believe, so now there's association between primary sclerosing cholangitis, which is a chronic inflammation in the bile duct, and that's a significant risk factor for cholangiocarcinoma. And if you look at the incidence of cholangiocarcinoma, it is higher in patients with chronic liver inflammation, viral hepatitis, and cirrhosis, and their incidence is also a little higher compared to people without those risk factors.
I understand. Dr. Yi, thank you very much for talking with us. Congratulations once again on the FDA approval and your groundbreaking work. This is Larry Luxner for Rare Disease Advisor. Thank you.
Be sure to follow the latest news, perspectives, and clinical resources on rare diseases at rarediseaseadvisor.com. Thank you for listening.